This is John Lothian with a daily update of commentary and stories from the First Read section of the John Lothian newsletter for July 16, 2021. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. We lead off JLN today with the comments and stories from the hits and takes section. FIA reported its June 2021 exchange-traded derivatives volume report, saying worldwide volume of exchange-traded derivatives was 5.04 billion contracts in the month of June, making it the second highest level recorded after March 2021. The June total was up 10.8% from the previous month and up 26.8% from June 2020. On a year-to-date basis, volume in the first half of the year was 28.91 billion contracts, up 32.1% from the first half of 2020. Total open interest at the end of June was 1.08 billion contracts, down 1.1 from the previous month, but up 11.6% from a year ago. The law firm Jones Day has a webinar coming up on Tuesday, August 3rd from 12 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, titled Spoofing and Disruptive Trading in the Derivatives Markets, Investigation and Trial Perspectives. The webinar is hosted by Jones Day, Cornerstone Research, and Intercontinental Exchange, and will discuss spoofing and disruptive trading in the financial markets. The program will focus on the following: how spoofing and disruptive trading practices in the markets are identified, how the Department of Justice and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission pursue spoofing and disruptive trading investigations, and how big data is used to prosecute and defend spoofing and other disruptive trading cases. You can click on a link in today's newsletter for more details and to register. The NFA is not the only regulator issuing warnings about phishing emails. Canadian regulators also issued a notice about the issue. Canadian securities regulators also published final amendments to enhance protection of older and vulnerable clients. Cliff Heistad made a donation to the JLN Markets Wiki Education GoFundMe campaign yesterday for the second time. Thank you to Cliff and all who have given and all who have yet to give. Your donations are matched by Trading Technologies. They pledged to match $20,000 of donations and have been doing so every week. Support our efforts to preserve industry history by giving to our GoFundMe campaign. Speaking of Trading Technologies, they have renewed their sponsorship of John Lothian News and Markets Wiki. We have added an escape clause for them in case they are acquired. Thank you to TT for your continued support. They have been a sponsor of Markets Wiki since before we launched it in 2008. Today we have the video interview with Megan Dugan of ICE/NYSE for the Path to Electronic Trading series. She wanted to be a chef, but she found a job at the Pacific Stock Exchange and never looked back. Lots of options market structure issues impacted her career. After nearly a year-long delay, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker signed HB 1443 into law on Thursday, creating two state lotteries for a total of 110 additional adult-use cannabis dispensary licenses. According to a release from the governor's office, applicants who received at least 85% of the available points in the state's earlier application process and qualify as a social equity applicant are eligible to participate. In addition, the Illinois Department of Agriculture notified applicants who are eligible to receive one of 213 total licenses, 40 craft grow, 32 infuser, and 141 transporter. The release stated that 100% of the applicants are eligible to receive licenses for craft grow, infuser, and transportation are qualified social equity applicants. More details are available with a link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the First Read section of today's JLN. Here's our video with Megan Dugan. Megan Dugan cooks up a stellar path to electronic trading. NYSE executive Megan Dugan always worked in kitchens as a youth and had dreams of becoming a famous chef. She even earned a degree in culinary science. However, instead of donning a poofy cap for a career as a chef, she pursued a career in the markets at the Pacific Stock Exchange and wore a colorful jacket. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Frank Portnoy of the FT. My wild ride into the cryptosphere, how I bought a virtual horse, raced him, and got a first-hand look at the delights and dangers of NFTs. A few weeks ago, I went off to the races, not the ones you might know at Ascot or Churchill Downs. Instead, I signed up at Zedrun, an online horse racing platform where I discovered just how easy it is to buy cryptocurrencies and crypto assets and just how hard it is to get out. My comment, Frank Portnoy is a toad. Mr. Toad, like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, of course. Here's a story from CBS News. Dogecoin creator likens cryptocurrencies to a scam run by powerful cartel to benefit the rich. Dogecoin co-founder Jackson Palmer created the digital currency in 2013 as a meme-inspired joke. 5 years later, its market value had soared into the billions, leading him to write at the same time that cryptocurrencies had attracted, quote, shark-like scammers and opportunists, unquote. But the laugh now appears to be on millions of ordinary investors, the Australian entrepreneur suggested this week in a series of blistering tweets denouncing Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other cryptocurrencies as something resembling a mass Ponzi scheme to extract new money from the financially desperate and naive. My comment, oh, there's a cartel, don't worry about that. Here's a story from The Trade and Haley McDowell. The collapse of Archegos Capital Management. As the fallout of the collapse of Archegos Capital Management sent shockwaves across the global community, Haley McDowell examines the tale of winners and losers as questions about the future of prime brokerage are brought to the fore. In March, a drop in the share price of U.S. media group Viacom CBS following a shock sale sparked chaos on Wall Street and one of the most dramatic collapses in the finance world. It's an intense tale of winners and losers featuring several of the largest investment banks, including Credit Suisse, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, MUFG, Nomura, UBS, and Wells Fargo, that acted as prime brokers for an ill-fated client. My comment, I recently commented to Haley McDowell that it was nice to see her name on a byline. She said that she had been very busy with her editing duties. Since then, I have noticed more and more that her byline is showing up again, reminding us what an enterprising and prolific journalist she is. Here's the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our top story Thursday was Tim Brennan took the leap to a new frontier of trading. A John Lothian video interview in the Path to Electronic Trading series from JLN. Second was Bloomberg's Why Wall Street is Afraid of a Digital Dollar, about the U.S. bank's fear of a government-backed virtual currency. Third was, Can Chicago Thrive in a Work-from-Home World?, an opinion piece in the Financial Times written by a Chicagoan. This podcast is sponsored by our friends at Eurex. Visit Eurex.com to learn more about trading MSCI derivatives. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day. Stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.